We're continuing the Bala Tanya with the Chassidus and Mavaris. We're in Perek Gimel, Chelek Gimel. We're on page Kuf Nun Zayin. We're talking about Da'as. And we're discussing how Da'as really means living in the reality of the Chochmah and Bina that you have developed. And certainly without Da'as, one is going to have a lot of trouble with the midos and how we relate to Hashem, loving and fearing Hashem, especially since Hashem is an abstract concept. And right at the end, right at the top of Kuf Nun Zayin, he says, it's not enough just to understand the greatness of Hashem, but it has to be something that's nogea lo be'emes. It has to be something that's relevant. If things are relevant, that's where the das kicks in. So right there on the fourth line, Fourth word on page Kuf Nun Zayin, the top line. Ukedei lahagia l'deikach, and in order to reach that state of things being relevant, tzarech ha'adam lavo l'bichinas ha'das. Person has to reach the level of das. Haynu l'kasher es daito begadlus Hashem b'chozei godel u'basmod araba, to connect your intellect to the greatness of Hashem with a lot of strength and a lot of consistency. In a way that your thoughts are tied up and attached to this godly concept. How much so? That it should be as tied up as you're tied up to a physical things that the human flesh eye sees. Then the feelings of the heart, the midos, will be true midos. So it's relevant when the person gets to the point where it's as real as something that's physical in front of your eyes. So we have to look at footnote 69, who explains a little more. He says, "Hatzerich lekasher daito bekasher amitz v'chazek ma'od u'baspada v'davrik ve'leholid midos amitios." The reason why there is the need to connect your das very strongly with a lot of consistency to bring out true midos. It's mainly for the purpose of bringing out spiritual and godly concepts. Since they're very far away from the feelings of normal people. Therefore, only through a lot of effort only then are you able to connect yourself with a strong das in understanding the greatness of Hashem, and then you'll be able to arouse true feelings to Hashem. If Hashem is more real to you, then your feelings will be more real. If he's less real, the feelings will be less real. That's why you need das mostly for spiritual things. Which is not so by the animalistic midos that are for physical things. The person already feels them. You don't need a lot of das to arouse feelings of the heart to them. You only need to know that they're relevant for you to arouse any kind of this true desire for them. Which, you know, you don't need a lot of convincing to say that tell candy is good. Right? He knows it's good. That's it. And he wants it. That's it. You don't need any das for this. You don't need any das for a lot of physical things in this world. Person obviously enjoys it. Finished. And that's the end of it. So das is mainly, therefore, for spiritual ends, which are difficult to comprehend, difficult to find the relevance to them, and therefore difficult to get emotional over them. And that's why you need das to enable to develop this love and fear of Hashem. Okay, back upstairs, second paragraph. Which is not the case of people without das, that even though they have intellect and understanding about the greatness of Hashem. If Chachman Bina, let's say a person develops from only Bina, Chachman Bina, and excitement and a feeling of love for Hashem and fear. It's not true Yira and Ava. Because that soul is not truly yearning for godly. But rather these feelings are false imagination. You think you love Hashem, but really not. Alright, let's continue. Ukafi Sharoim Bepoil, you see this in reality. Shviyadim Yichalim Lios B'matzav Shalishers Yisrach Shalev B'shas Tvila. You can find that somebody is in a situation where he's very aroused and very emotional. When he davens, looks good. V'teik Evlach Areha Mispatelis Kol Yisrairus V'yiskim Yad Mimili Taivis Alev L'tanug Yolam Azeh. And right afterwards, all arousal is nullified, and they start engaging immediately after davening to fulfill their tivus and the pleasures of this world. Without leaving any mark of that excitement and that arousal that happened during davening. A complete 180-degree turn. That proves that even during davening, it was an illusionary, false imagination. Right? And that's what he explains a little more in footnote 71. He does bring out an important point. He says, so what's the difference if it would be a true Hisairus? Masha'engi kishihim Hisairus amitis. On the other hand, when it is a true Hisairus, even though after davening, the evil that is inside of everyone, everyone still has that advice of the Nachash still in your side, because without that we wouldn't have children, we wouldn't go to work. So there is a little bit of evil inside of everybody, and that wakes up, so to speak. You get a little taiva. Misava taiva latavas olam asevatanagov. You do have a pleasure. You do arouse a taiva for this world. It might look like he didn't daven at all, but there's still a mark from that initial enthusiasm, and it stays throughout the whole day. And with that mark, you're able to control yourself to not allow that taiva to reach its objectives. You could have a taiva, but did you overcome the taiva? That's the difference. If it was a true connection to Hashem, you're right, you're a human being, you will have taivas. There are taivas that wake up. However, you won't act on them because you can go back, you can draw back on the chakras and say, no, I would love Hashem too much to do that. I wouldn't do that because of Hashem. So that's when it's a true concept. Because for that kind of arousal to last through the day, it has to have das in Hashem. Now let's continue back upstairs. Since the person's soul was not connected to Hashem, even during davening, because all his understanding is only an intellectual understanding. It's not possible for the concept of Hashem to be relevant to you truly. Is to arouse a real love and a real fear. So what kind of real fear is this? So again, I guess we have to come back to what we spoke about in the Parsha class on Tuesday. That this is the idea of it was you were imitating other people's Hisairus. You see what other people do. So, you see other people daven out loud, you daven out loud. See other people clapping, you clap. See other people grimacing, you grimace. See other people doing like that, you do like that. Monkey see, monkey do. So it's not real. It's just what you see. See what everybody says, that's what you do. So if it's not you, it's not you anyway. You know, so you're only imitating spirituality. So when push comes to shove, you come back to the old typhus very quickly. So that's again, that's the idea of the measure of what Shabbos is supposed to do. Shabbos is a day of Das. Shabbos is the day of Das. Why is it a day of Das? Because you don't got to go to work. You don't got to do anything. There's nothing to distract you. The biggest challenge to Das is distraction and tirdus. A lot of things on your mind. You don't have time to focus on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the whole reason why we don't work on Shabbos, again, you see Shabbos is in every one of the parshas of the Mishkan. It's a mamish, right? So it's able to focus on the Das, to really sit down and reflect on who a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. And to bring out those feelings on Shabbos more so than any other day of the week. So, you, how do you know you had a real good Shabbos? Just wait till Matzah Shabbos. You'll know. Even if you're going through the motions. We're not talking about people who are sleeping through the Shabbos. We're talking about people having a good Shabbos. On paper, superficially, it looks like a good Shabbos. He comes to Friday night Kabbalah Shabbos. He's up, he's at 8 o'clock in the morning learning the class. He's singing in the davening. He's having nice mirrors on Shabbos. You're doing it. All the actions look good. You're even ending Shabbos late. But then what are you doing right after Shabbos? Right after Shabbos, back to the Baal Taiva that you are. Right? So the Shabbos really didn't make much of a mark on the person. And there was, because there wasn't a lot of Das. A lot of Chacham Bina. You know you're supposed to do this. You understand you're supposed to do this. But you didn't reflect the whole day. You didn't reflect on it. You didn't sit in that. You didn't sit in that reality with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So then you just lose it right after Shabbos. So that's the real litmus test. What's your Shabbos afterwards? If you have any doubts as to whether you had real Das going on or not, once the Shabbos is the answer. Now, it doesn't mean to say after once Shabbos you don't have a taiva to want to do those things. But the bottom line is you don't do it. Because then there was a mark. So that's an easy way to tell. Easy way to tell. Right? See, if you're mimicking other people, so there's no real Das over there. If it's really you, and your feelings towards Hashem are coming out, you can tell if it's real feelings. No different, you know, if a person has Das in their relationship with their spouse. Same thing. If you have Das with your relationship with your spouse, and your spouse says something that gets you upset, you might want to yell at them. You might want to get angry at them. Then we'll see how much Das you have. You could want to, but just don't. If you do, then there wasn't a lot of Das going on over there. Now, let's continue. Mitamze, based on this, Gama Das hi achas mishlosh imos. So obviously Das has to be one of the three matriarchs. Not just Chochma Bina, has to have Das. As we said, Kolosher Rabbeinu Leil, as the Rebbe has said, Shechachma Bina Das Nikro Imosum Kol Midos. He says Chachma Bina and Das are called the mothers and the roots of the Midos. Daf She'etzem Holadas, next page, Kuftin Ches. V'Yisar Esamidas Tluya B'Chachma Bina B'Vahad. Even though the real essential birth to this arousal of the Midos is Chachma Bina, because that's coming up with the ideas. Chachma, you're learning about that there is a God. Bina, you're thinking about, like, you're getting the ideas fleshed out, and you understand what the implications of Hashem are, and ultimately that idea is what is going to give you the right midas, clearly. But Hare Kadesha Midas Tia Amitas, but for the midas to be true and not just imaginary. You gotta have Das. Without the Das, it's not real, it's not relevant, it isn't real. And now he explains in the brackets a very nice reason why there is this following custom. That's why the reason those who follow the ways of the Alter Rebbe, basically if you're a true chassid, Seder Tfilasim, what is your order of davening? How do you daven? When you're doing it properly.
Makdishim zman mesuyim kolech lefi inyano, lispaininus kodam atfila,
It's when a person precedes with a certain amount of time, he sanctifies a certain amount of time, dedicates is a better word, dedicates a certain amount of time, everyone according to their abilities, for his hispodenus, for reflection, before davening, in areas of the deeper parts of Torah. As the Ramah paskins, I'm telling you, I don't know why Rabbi Nachum gets all the credit for this. The Ramah says this, right? The Yachshav Kodem HaTvila Meromos HaKel Yisal. A person should think about the greatness of Hashem before he davens. So Ramah says this. He's a real Ashkenazic Jew, right? You have to reflect on this. So how do you do this? The Nosef was said, in addition to this, Shekom Zman Kodem HaTvila Limuch Hasidus Biyun, that before you daven, you set out a certain amount of time to learn Chassidus in depth, like we're doing. Sure, I believe Chacham and Bina. If you don't have Chacham and Bina, Haino Eze Havana Vasag Begadlusi Yisparach, to have some kind of understanding about Hashem's greatness, Ein B'Mal Yisparach, there's something to reflect on. You see. So a lot of people, here's where I take issue with certain ideas of Hisponinus. You could be an ignorant person and be Misponin. That's where you get this imaginary feelings. That's where the real problem is. You know, that's where chassidus to the masses, you know, can run into trouble. There's the real chassidus, and there's imaginary chassidus. Your imaginary chassid. You don't know anything, and you just think about Hashem. You don't even know what you're thinking about. You know, I know God's great, and that's it. Oh, I love Him. You know, that's the imaginary type of chassidus. You know. Then you wear all the garb and then you smoke up dope and stuff like that. You know, you think you're being spiritual. You're getting high, but a different way. Right? But there's something to learn. Last year, Al Kinshah, LaRosh Lilmud, you gotta learn. Be in Roy, in depth. Aitim Chassidus, you gotta learn something in Chassidus before davening. But he's not done. Hina Iker HaKonah LaTvila, Hia Yisponis, but Mashalom. Then the real preparation for davening is being misponing on what you just learned. So we have to still adjust our schedule. I don't know how that's ever going to happen. So really, after the class, you should spend 10 minutes, whatever, 5, 10, 15 minutes, be misboning. Reflect on what did I learn? How is this relevant to my life? And now when you realize how relevant this is to my life, so for example, we're talking about Das. So what are we supposed to do after such a class today? What are you supposed to do? Just to sit down and say, okay, is this something important to me? Is this das important? Okay, well, is it relevant? Is it not relevant? Now you start using your own feelings about what you just learned and saying, okay, that hisponenus is what puts das into what you're learning. That's what hisponenus is to put das into what you're learning. So now when you're going to daven, so now it's going to become relevant. The davening is going to be relevant. Okay, now you learned about das. So is that important? Do I need it? Do I not need it? Then what's going on when you're going to daven? For chonein hadas. Going to ask Hashem for das. And you might mean it when you're asking Hashem for das. Instead of just, you know, blitzing through it and say, okay, God, I want to be smart. That's not, I want to be smart. I want das. I want to be able to make my Yiddishkeit relevant in my life. I don't want to feel like a drag. Then the davening's a different davening. Then you're approaching, if you're talking to a being who is more real, then the davening is a davening. Right? All Chassidus has to take you back to Hashem. Every teaching in Chassidus has to get you connected back to Hashem. So you learn some interesting ideas. And then interesting ideas. Fascinating class. Very interesting. Wow. Good chop. Right? But that's not going to get you to daven any better. You have to sit down. Now, so Litvak will say, I can get that from Gemara too. Litvak will say, I learned Gemara and I can get it from Gemara too. You know, if you're misboning on why you were learning and what the purpose of the learning was, yeah. You could. Here it's much easier. Right? That's what they do, right? That's what the real Hasidim do. They're going to learn Tanya in the morning. They're going to learn Hasidus in the morning. Why? That's a preparation for the davening, because it's the same. It's not anything different. So that's what Rabbi Nachman, he pushed that. You learn, you daven, you learn. And they go hand in hand. It's not two separate mikzos. Davening and learning are not two totally separate areas. Although you have, you know, it's Torah and Avoda, but they go locked hand in hand. It's not like two separate worlds that one have nothing to do with the other. They're very much connected. Based on the Torah that you're learning that builds up your das, to the degree that you have das, your davening has to be better. If you have das, if you just have chacham and bina, the das isn't going to be there. The davening isn't going to be there. If what you're learning is real and relevant, if it's relevant, then davening only can be meaningful if the davening is relevant. And if Hashem is relevant, then the davening is relevant. It goes hand in hand. So you have to have this hisponinus to reflect on that. So, I mean, if we really daven properly, okay, then Psukkah de Zimmer could be hisponinus. But it's not possible. We're just going too fast.
So he has like a step in between the learning and the
davening. It's hisponinus, but there has to be real learning. There has to be real learning. It has to be what to be misponing on after you learn. You know, a person gets up in the morning, get up in the morning half an hour before davening. They get up, they get dressed, they're in a rush. They rush, they drive to shul. Right? Putting on the news, hearing what's going on in the world. By the time now you're in the shul, you're rushing to put your towels and tefillin on. So, you prepared yourself to talk to Hashem? You didn't prepare yourself to talk to Hashem. So you go through the motions. You're not reflecting on what you're doing. Because Hashem isn't so real. Why? Because you didn't give it a chance. And even if you make all the motions, and it looks like you had a good davening, but it'll play out during the day when you see everything you davened for, it just didn't connect to the real world. So that's how it becomes real. Let's continue. Heino, lachshoiv is to think, and he writes the Yiddish word, ibertrachten. Ibertrachten means to think about it. To rethink, as a inyan shenilmad. Think about what you learned. And to implant it in your mind, bo, with a lot of concentration. Right? So here's the quality that's the main thing. Even though you're not the kind of person who can be misspoken a long time without getting distracted. You can't do it for 15, 20 minutes or an hour as Rav Schwartz keeps reminding us. Right? You can't. But it's the quality. In those few moments that you're reflecting on Hashem, you have to be totally, totally connected to those concepts. If you're totally connected to those concepts, then that's the way to come to davening. Only through this will the excitement... Now remember, so davening is supposed to bring you what? Emotion. Davening is supposed to develop the emotion. That's where the love and the yira is supposed to come out in the davening. A davening with real love, with real yira. Right? So that's when it becomes true feelings and not imaginary feelings. Okay. So that was worth the price of admission today. Valkane. Back to the words of the Baal HaTanya. Therefore, really, if you think about it, das is what maintains the midas and gives them light. Explains the Chassidism verse. Since das makes your midos true and not imaginary, therefore it brings in maintenance and life into the midos. Pirish kiyum midos. What does it mean? Kiyum midos. That they will be maintained. Not that they move away and they change right after the arousal, which quite often happens after davening. It's like they weren't. That's what kiyum. Kiyum means they stay. They remain. They don't run away. They're there the whole day. And life means, and even when they first arouse, those that they're filled with warmth and life and not coldness. Okay, with real emotion when you're having them, and that real emotion stays throughout the whole day. That is all thanks to Das. And therefore, really, says the Alter Rebbe, the next four words, V'hukol el chesed u'gvur, and it really incorporates kindness, chesed and gvur, and control. So since Das is what puts life into the midos and maintains the midos. Okay, now Das atzma kolos b'self chesed gvura. Therefore, the Das really itself incorporates chesed gvura, b'loshin Kabbalah, as it says in the wording, the Kabbalistic words, top of Kuf Nun Tes is, Hadas nechlekes lechesed gvura. Das is, can be divided up into chesed and gvura. Alright? So, obviously, it's not the same type of mental activity, as it were, but it is, that's what's going to eventually happen. Perish, what does that mean? Since Das does what? It ties the person to the concept until it becomes etched in his soul. And it becomes living inside of him. So such a connection must spawn in his mind an inclination towards something in one of those two directions. Or either this thing should be something you should be brought close to, or something should be distanced from you. In other words, once you have this feeling of Hashem, then you start looking at things and you're saying, well, what do I do with these things during my day? So after you finish davening, somebody wants some tzedakah. Now, are you drawn to that person? Is there an ava? Are you feeling connecting to that opportunity? Right. If Hashem is real, you'd feel connected to it. If Hashem is real, you will not turn on, you know, certain things on the radio. You push that away. You push, and that's real feelings. That's real feelings. Vayinu sha'odli fnei hisaris ava yira b'lev. Even before the arousal of the fear or the love that's in the heart towards something. You already have an intellectual feeling to get close or far away from something. Little brackets there. Ella sheka amor ena kavona latia b'pol b'regesh life. But what we're saying is, it's, we don't mean to say an actual physical inclination in feelings of the heart, because that's already the midos. Ella rak natia sichlis, an intellectual leaning. That's what we mean. Shvar b'sichlo huchlo netzlo u'bol de maskana. Intellectually, he said, you know, next time I'm going to be in that situation, I'm going to want to get close to the right thing or far away from the bad thing. It's an intellectual decision you make. You don't know specifically that you're going to, you don't have the feeling yet. You've intellectually decided when you finished, you know, your davening or during your davening. You say, you know, and therefore I have to stop doing these things, or I have to really promote more of the positive things. And from that intellectual leaning, Shabbat in the mind, that spawns true feelings of fear and love in his heart. Venimsa comes out, Shadas Asma Kalolas Chesed Gvura. So Das itself incorporates Chesed and Gvura. Okay. Finishing off the last five words of the Baal Tanya in this parak, Pirish, meaning Ava Vanafel Vyiranafel, this will spawn love and all the things that come out of that. And year and all the things that come out of that. Since Ava and Yira are the main source of all the other midos, as we explained earlier, the Shar Kalamidas Emrak Anfa Yira of the Ava Dosem, all the rest of them are just branches of Yira and Ava. So it really comes out that Das is incorporating all the midos, because all the midos come out from Chesed and Gvura. So then, if Das is what's bringing Chesed and Gvura, then all the Midas come out from that. Therefore, Das brings life to all the Midos. We can skip the different Kitzurim and move on to Perek Dalid, all the way to page Kuf Samach Dalid. Okay, we'll just begin a new topic here. We're going to talk now about the externals of how this all shows up, and we're going to be introduced to a new concept very shortly. So the title, so let's look on Kuf Samach Dalad under the line. The Aleph gives us the, there's three parts to this, Perek. And the big type says what we're going to talk about. It says, Limud HaTorah V'kima Mitzvos V'Poel, L'Umas HaSogas Alokos B'Moach V'Yisores Avayir B'Lev. Where does learning Torah and doing mitzvahs actually, where do they fit in to our grasp of Hashem in our mind and the Hisorus of the Av and the Yer B'Lev? In other words, now that we've got to the point where we say that I really understand Hashem, and it's very relevant in my life, and I've aroused my emotions to this. So now where does the mitzvah observance and the learning of Torah, you know, where does that fit in once you've developed this to this point? So what really are the mitzvahs doing? What's the learning of the Torah doing, as it were? So in the bracketed italics, v'perek hagodim nisbar tochan avodas hanefesh alokis v'iskashus v'kadosh baruch hu yedei eser b'chinoseh. In the last parak, we spoke about how the godly soul works, how it enables you to connect to Hashem via the 10 spheros. Hanechlekos l'shnei su'ichlam, where they're divided into two general groupings, seichel u'midos, intellect and midos. Haseichel u'asogah v'isbonos b'galus Hashem. The seichel is the grasp and the reflecting on the greatness of Hashem. But Midos ain't Hisayrus, but Ava Sema Yirso. And the Midos is the arousal of the feelings of love and Yira for Hashem. Fine. But Perek says, Yam Shechlevayr, Od Inim Bavodas Hanashama Vizkashu Bekodesh Baruch Hu. We're going to learn about one more aspect of this Avoda. V'ayidei Kochas, and this is through forces, Anikr Mishem Livushim. They're called garments. We're going to learn about what do we mean by garments. Perek Dalet. First line of the Balatanya. The Od Yesh L'chol Nefesh Aloki Shlosh Levushim. Every godly soul has three garments. She Machshava Dibur Umaisa Shaltar Yig Mitzvah Satorah. That's thought, speech, and action regarding the 613 Mitzvah Satorah. These become the garments of the godly soul. So, he explains. Benois of lesser bechina shel nefesh, in addition to the 10 aspects of the godly soul, which are 10 real forces, yesh lenefesh aloki sod suk shel kochos, is another form of kochos, and the krayim b'shem levushim, that are called garments, ve'machshava dibur ma'isa, and that is thought, speech, and action, and the krayim, which are called levushim, they're called garments. Why? Mishum she'eser bechina shel nefesh niskelel, because the 10 aspects of the soul, which is the force of intellect and midos, mislapshos, they get dressed, v'nimtzos v'shlosh l'vushabel, and they find themselves in these three garments. Ka'adam hamalubash b'levushim, like a person who gets dressed. Klomer, mean to say, ein l'machshav l'dibur l'maisa shum toichan u'mashmaos mishalatzmam. The thoughts, the speech, and the actions in and of themselves don't have any content. Elokol inyonu v'tachlisam legalos inyon shol sechel o regesh alev. But their whole concept, their whole goal is to reveal what is in the 10 spheros inside you. It reveals the intellect that you've developed. It reveals the emotions that you've developed. And v'lios lehem levush. And they have a garment. Just like, you know, you don't go out of the house unless you're dressed. So your midos don't go out of the house unless you're dressed. The house is a human being. So they have to express themselves. How do you express the intellect? You gotta dress it. So you can go out. How do you express the emotions? The emotions, you know, you don't have to show anything. If you really love someone, no one has to see it yet. But it's now, you know, when you daven, oh, that's already a mitzvah. Now that's the time to show the expression, or when you're doing a mitzvah. Just like he says, like a physical garment, that everything that's inside, right, it is dressed by the person. Okay, now in footnote one, he says it's not 100% analogous. It's not 100% analogy. He says, yesh lahayir, Shaina Mashal, Mibigodim Gashmi Dom Lagam Lim Nimshal. The Mashal isn't 100% compatible with the Nimshal. Ki Bigodim Gashmi Him Dvarim Zorim Vinifurim Lagamiyodim. because garments are totally separate from the person. They come off the rack and you put them on them. Person just wears them. Mashenka and Machshava, Dibur Maisa, thought, speech, and action, Areim Koch, Lashel Nefesh. They are forces of the soul. They are coming from you. They're not totally external. But they serve the function of garmenting the ten spheros. You put them on, but they didn't come off the rack. They came off of you. El Shehem Mahus Nifrados. They're a different essence. And the essence of intellect and midos. But the only compatible part of the analogy is that through thought, speech, and action, the ten spheres can get dressed. Just like a physical garment. That they are a garment for the person who wears them. And they also tell us a lot about the person. The way you dress tells us a lot about the type of person you are. So the way you dress your neshama, right, the way you talk, the way you think, the way you do, tells us what is exactly been developed within the ten spheres. Nobody knows what's going on inside of you, maybe even yourself, until you really have to act it out, or think it out, or speak it out, and that now reveals and garments what's exactly there. Okay, so then if you want to know more about that, we have to go to Os Ayin Vav in the back. Let's see if we can squeeze all that in. Okay, Ayin Vav in the back. It's a long one. Is on page Shin Nun Hei. It's a left-handed page, lower left-hand column, Shin Nun Hei. I want to get this idea clear so we can start from this point next week. Okay, we got it, right? The lower left-hand side. Machshav Dibur Maisa, Nikraim, Vishem, Levusha, Nefesh. These three, thought, speech, and action, are called the garments of the soul. Vishem, Domin, Levushim, Shodom, Lovesh. They're like a garment that a person puts on. Halavushim, Him, Zorim, Lechalutim, Lamusa. Next page. Hamitah, Shalom. Garments, real garments, are totally separate, absolutely separate from the true essence of the person. Ve'lam shum kesher mahusim, but they have no essential connection to the person. Just like he puts them on, he can take them off. And that's the relationship between the garments of the soul and the actual soul. Thoughts, speech, and action are not a part of the essential godly soul of the person. He can't take them off. Mean to say, if he doesn't want to use them, he could stop doing it, stop speaking. How do you take off your clothes? Don't talk. Don't act. Now they're off. And you can even stop thinking about certain things. Right? You could change your thought processes. You know, you could think about what a pretty day it is. And not think about the real important things. V'zos benigud, this is the opposite. These garments are opposite. L'kochas ha-nefesh. There's something called kochas ha-nefesh, the power within the soul, which is asech of amidos. Shalagabi machshava divar ma'aseim kamo maus ha-nefesh aswa. In juxtaposed to thought, speech, and action, sechel and midos is the essence of the soul. That's what a soul is made up of. Skip all those brackets. Lefisha kochos kshur benefesh b'kesher amuk mod. The kochos, they're tied deeply into the soul. The godly soul has ten spheros in it. It's part of what the godly soul is. Has those ten powers within it. While thought, speech, and action just enable that to manifest themselves from the soul. They're tools that the soul can use, but it's not the essence of the soul. It's just things the soul can now use to bring out, to reveal. Let's give an example. The midas hanefesh. We're talking about the midas of the soul. Let's say you have the ability to love or hate something. That's a koach inside you. They're deeply in the heart. That's part of the person. Therefore, it's not easy to change your midos. Because your midas are part of you. If you hate somebody, and now you want to love him. It's a hard job to love someone that you hate. Because that love is part of who you are. That's one of those kochas anevesh. Now you hate a person, so that's there. You want to change it? Go try it. Votes also more than that. There's certain aspects of means you can't change them. Even if you're working out, you'll never change them. Why can't I change? Sometimes you cannot change, as the Rebbe will talk about in other places. That shows you how deeply connected those powers are within the soul, the spheres within you. So it is with the kochas of the intellect. Now we did the emotion. What about the seichel? Same thing. A person's intellect, what he believes in, that's an inseparable part of the human person. A person is not inclined to change his views. If a person is totally subjugated to an idea, let's say you're a racist, the old days where white people thought that black people were not as human as them, a person really believed it, couldn't change their mind, can't change their mind. That's who they are. What they believe in is who they are. Don't confuse me with the facts when my mind is made up. You can't get that easily. You got to learn a lot and work hard to accept the fact you've been living in a false world. Changing opinion? Very hard. So therefore, the das of a person, those intellectual forces, that's part of the person. They're not united with his soul. So that is clearly part of you. So as opposed to that, when we're talking about the idea of changing garments, doesn't take a lot of effort to change what you're thinking, to change what you're saying, to change what you're doing. For example, let's say you hate somebody, God forbid. You could do a favor for him while inside you're seething. Even to say something nice about him, or even to think something nice about him, you can change that. You can, as are externals, to change your garment. He doesn't love him at all. He hates him. This is what you call, being two-faced. In other words, as much as I hate him, I've decided to think, speak, and act nicely to him. In an instant, you can make it happen if you want. That's because that's not who you are. Feigning to be nice to the guy you hate, and you look at him, you smile. How are you doing? Glad to see you. Right. Even though he's convinced in his intellect a certain way, that he doesn't deserve anything good, and that's your essence. But in the outside, you can do the opposite. It doesn't need a special hard work. Without preparing in advance, without any inner change. So therefore, we conclude that even though the kochos are united inside you, they're deep, but the expressions are just levushim, just express externally what's going on. Okay, we'll have to continue next week this subject.